Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. And Lance is so proud of himself today. For the first time ever, right, Dell? Is this the first time ever?
No.
Yeah.
You've had...
Chaminade. The first time you've ever been here first.
That's not true. You've had...
Well, you were fighting with Nicole, so you came in early?
You've had issues... Well, no.
Oh, if I overslept?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives me... It opens the door.
Yeah. I got to go to... Do you know what I do every morning? I get up, you know, get ready for work. I go to Starbucks, get my wife a coffee, and bring it back to her. Is that a great husband?
That's
all of you husbands out there. I'm sorry. Oh, did I just ruin your day?
Old John would have said, "Wow, what a whipped wuss." You would have just wailed on yourself.
No,
you would have called yourself whipped immediately.
I've been doing this for years. Years and years.
It doesn't change. You know what I do? Bye. Beat it.
Well, yeah. Oh, okay. And you just think about yourself as opposed to me, that I think about my wife every morning. I bring her coffee, wake her up. Here you go, honey.
If she was a stay-at-home wife, are you getting her coffee?
No, because she get it herself.
Just making sure it was still you.
Yeah. Well, unless...
Make sure it's still you.
Well, unless, of course, she had to get all the kids ready for school, then that'd be a different story.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. Right. No,
sure
no.
Would.
Yeah.
My wife hasn't drank coffee in...
Well, she doesn't drink coffee, so you're off the hook.
She had caffeine in 6 or 7
What about
years.
All those guys out there right now that are going, shut up, John. My wife's listening.
Are their wives listening?
Well, yeah. There's
if
one.
They are...
All right. If you're a wife and you're listening and you think I'm a great husband, then give us a call.
Let's see if the line's 713-780-3776. Yeah, it can't be text messages. Don't tweet it in. You got to call to make it real.
713.
It could be a bot.
780-377. You think a bot?
No, I'm saying a bot may reach out and say, I believe that masks and Black Lives Matter and John's coffee. I'm like, bot, stop trying to just get in on this on these tweets. Bot.
713-780-3776. If you think I'm a great husband and your husband now sucks because... Well, because I do that and your husband doesn't. So
no Russian trolls and no troll farms from India, the troll farms from Russia. Nobody, you know, we see that's why all the outcry is they're from trolls. They have 4763285 at the end of their Twitter accounts and they joined in July.
Huh.
They have 3 followers.
Oh, no. I got pushed back on from something I tweeted out or
already?
Something. Or something on the show from someone with zero followers. Following 4 people and 0 followers.
Yeah.
And I was like,
well, that could be a burner account.
Yeah.
Or just always look at when they joined as the surefire sign on bots.
Yeah.
Like what's called bots is really a troll. It's not a bot. Bots are used to get massive amounts of retweets and likes.
Right.
Messages out. The troll farms that are run by, like, you know, there's
the
thousands.
Russians.
Yeah, but they're in several different countries. The FBI found is that they... you know, those will be real people who operate fake accounts just to get in your mix.
Mm-hmm.
And the lines are lighting up with with wives who think John is who they want John to be their husband. John is the best husband. Said no caller ever.
No. Well, because they're all listening on. It's a couple minutes behind. On the stream, and the stream might be down too. You never know.
Yeah,
it's probably down.
All right, 713-780-3776. It is good that you, what am I talking about? I was bringing Wendy coffee when I was over at your house. I did that a couple times myself.
Yeah, you did.
I got Jedi mind tricked into coffee also.
Yeah, twice you brought her coffee.
I did, actually.
Because I was like, oh man, Lance is going to Starbucks, pick me up some. How about that? That's totally, totally sweet.
So you know what my day was yesterday? I watched, I got up and watched Harry Kane go to work for Tottenham. Then I watched some of Florentina on Serie A. Then I was watching some NASCAR. Now, there may have been action on all three. I watched some NASCAR because I was watching Clint Bowyer to see if he could beat 3 other people. in his particular group because he was plus 135, and he didn't. And then I was watching a little bit of baseball. A little bit of baseball was on yesterday. The Cubs were on.
The Cubs
television.
Were.
Yeah.
Huh. And what about golf? John Rahm winning.
If Tiger's not doing good.
If Tiger's not in it, then you're out.
No, to be honest with you, I would have if I had any action on golf. I was talking about with Solis. It was a weird day when Italian soccer. Oh, and then MLS. And then I watched San Jose, Chicago. Because for reasons.
Oh.
So it was, it really depends on where the action's running. And so I already had some NASCAR action and some MLS action. So golf had to take a. If I had took a shot at the golf course, if you'd have told me who to play, then I'd have been locked
John
in
Rahm.
On golf.
You should have played John Rahm.
I would have been locked in on golf.
I didn't know that because I didn't take him. I didn't even take him. I get to pick seven golfers and I didn't take him. So
yeah.
He hadn't been playing. Him playing great. He's the number one player in the world now, though, and he just ran away from it.
He's really number one in the world.
Number one in the world right now. He just moved into number one. Yesterday with the win.
Wow.
Yeah, first time in his career. He pissed past Rory. Rory was number one and just hasn't done anything. He's just a bust. Just a bust. Dal, you watched golf all weekend? Congratulations.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I don't watch
Of course everybody watched golf all weekend. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Golf is trash. I don't know if you know this, but golf is trash.
No.
I'm watching golf.
Look at
it. It's a terrible
spectator
sport.
We got the Golf Channel on right now and just made a putt. What? That's exciting. There's John Rahm, the number one player in the world.
Congratulations.
How do you feel about John Rahm being?
It's great.
Where were you when you found out John Rahm was number one in the world?
Somewhere yesterday. You know, it's great that golf, the number one player in the world, no one can recognize. Shout out to golf. No one would recognize John Rahm if he was walking around. Name the best player in every sport. And some, I recognize that guy. John Rahm walks around. Okay, who is that guy?
No, you go, there's John Rahm, number one player in the
golf
world.
Golf is the only sport out there that the best player in it, no one recognizes.
You don't even know where he's from.
He's from Spain. I'm not stupid.
Thank you. Well, you are kind of.
No, but I answered that question, and you're dumb enough to think I wouldn't know that answer.
Right.
So how about that? Golf. That's why golf is terrible. You can't. Lance, who's the best player in basketball?
I guess LeBron.
Would you recognize LeBron if he was walking around?
Yeah.
Best player in soccer. Even soccer.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, he's not.
Yep.
No, he's not.
Yep.
It's not. Is it considered Messi?
Could be. Let's just say over the last 5 years.
All right, Messi.
Ronaldo.
Would you recognize him?
Yeah.
Ronaldo. Over the last 5 years, it's easily Ronaldo.
I would know Messi.
Yeah, thank you. Golf? Would you recognize John Rahm?
Oh, no, John Rahm.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out. Congratulations.
There he is right there. There he is right there.
Yeah, because the Cryon told him.
No, that's it. You would recognize him. You go, John Rahm. What a player. What an athlete.
Oh, look at that guy. Is he selling insurance?
He doesn't look super distinct either. He just looks like he's got a golfer look.
There he is. What do you mean he just looks like a golfer
look? He looks
golfer-y. He's a big dude. That's a big dude.
Well, golfers are bigger dudes now.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, was it 2 years ago that Brooks Koepka was number one?
They still got skinny little Rickies and Justin Thomas's.
But that's kind of what you have now.
Yeah.
It's either those guys or the John Rahms and Brooks Koepkas. Or Bryson DeChambeau.
What's up, bro?
Why is your neck all yoked up, Bryson?
Because I work out and eat whatever I want. Thank you. That's why. That's exactly why. Astros baseball this week, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's supposed to rain in Kansas City, so I don't know that they're going to get these games in.
Can you imagine in the midst of a pandemic and you got to worry about delaying? Is this supposed to rain multiple days?
It's supposed to. I don't know. It's supposed to rain. Who do you start?
This is kind of crazy that we're finally getting to, like I said, team sports are underway. The MLS, we'll get to football because football's got some stuff, but the MLS is underway, and it's been underway in the U.S., a team sport. We know golf and NASCAR are running. Those are not team sports, although you do have many teams. I mean, you do. It's not a team sport, but you do have teams on your on your pit crew. You have teams in terms of in golf, you and your caddy, obviously, and there have been some guys who have tested positive for COVID. UFC has been going hot and heavy. That's not a problem. So we do have sports. We've got plenty. UFC is going twice a week. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
UFC, it's almost like you cannot just turn on, I shouldn't say turn on the TV because you got to find it in different places, but you can't go to ESPN and not say, oh, there's another fight card on today. UFC, a lot of UFCs are going on. A lot of golf is going on. Well, it's golf every week. And then now a lot of MLS is going on. MLS is going on as expected. So, the expectations should be for baseball to get started. The expectations should be for basketball to get started and stay. Our expectations should be for these team sports to get going. MLS has given us, now, they're not, they don't play every day like baseball is going to have frequently. But I don't think we should be expected to see our major sports collapse under the weight of the coronavirus. Nobody else is no. across the globe. The MLS hasn't so far. NASCAR is going. Golf is going. I think we will see baseball go and basketball go. And if both of those go, then does that change our vantage point for college football? Does it change our vantage point for the NFL? If other professional sports go effectively, but basketball is as close as you can get to football in terms of constant contact inside of, inside of 6 feet, for example.
Right. Well, here's the deal is, and we're seeing now, Deshaun and JJ, they're blasting the NFL, and who didn't know this was happening? Here's the problem. The commissioner should have started working with JC Tretter a while ago. JC Tretter out there going, hey, you guys are making unilateral decisions. That ain't how we ain't doing that. Look at the other sports. They working with their leagues, and they're working out everything together, and we ain't doing any of this. And now all of a sudden we're getting closer and closer to the start of football, and there's a bunch of chatter, and there's a bunch of, hey, once again, in the interest of keeping everyone as informed as possible, here's an updated list of what we as players know and don't know as the first group gets set to report to training camp tomorrow. The Texans are reporting today. Rookies and quarterbacks reporting today to camp. And they still don't have all the protocols worked out. Man, come on,
where's
NFL.
Where's this coming from that they that the players are saying? Like, I thought the NFL had gone to every team, and I thought we had seen reports that the NFL teams had what was going on with the protocols. I thought they had shared all the protocols.
They unilaterally put out the protocols without negotiating or at least talking to the Players Association.
So this is only about that.
That's it. We need football. We need sports. We need hope. The NFL's unwillingness to follow the recommendations of their own medical experts will prevent that. If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football.
Okay, so what's the problem? Which one of the guidelines are they skipping?
Daily testing, every day. The players want it every day, and the NFL's every other day or every couple of days.
But is anyone testing every day?
The NBA is.
The NBA is testing every day.
Yeah, I think MLS is too.
Do the players want to be tested every day?
Apparently.
Okay. Well, you know the expense of testing every football player every day.
Too bad, NFL. If that's what it is, then, I don't know what to tell you. I would think some staggering could take place. Every other day where you stagger group one and group two, something like that. NBA's really testing every single day?
Initially, I don't know if that'll subside once the bubble is deemed secure, once everybody's in.
That's what I'm wondering. But I don't think the players are going to want to be tested every day, honestly. I think that will change quickly.
Well, I don't know what they bargained, but as far as we go on, but initially everyone gets a swab, then swirling around your nose and in the mouth every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's what it is, then I would think that's something they can get worked out.
Suppose you don't get the test back. I mean, good Lord.
Well, the NBA gets, they're under fire for some of it because they're getting their test back within 12 to 18 hours, where the community around them has to maybe wait 5 to 7 days. But they're getting the rapid things, and they're getting back within 12 hours if you're in that bubble.
Within 12 hours, so they're doing it at night so that they can play the next day?
I don't know if that'll happen during the season, but as far as currently, while they're practicing and just getting set up, you get your test in the morning, and then you
but
have...
But you don't find out until the next day, so you're with everybody all day. You might have it.
Well, you were negative the day before, so you get them every day, so that they think is, well, you got it yesterday, we'll get
are
it.
Are you telling me a billionaire industry with billionaires and millionaires are different than us? Yeah. Never would have thought that. Yeah.
John Granado's a great family man, definitely a role model. Thank you, Alfredo. You are so right.
Was that a wife?
7:10 ESPN. 7:14.
Maybe he wants to be John's wife.
7:15 ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Men's Tea Clinic. So right now, if you have your wife and things are there's just not a lot of passion right now, and you think it's kind of on you, you just don't feel that. Yeah, it could be a drop in libido, and a drop in libido is one of the things that could be a telltale symptom that you have lower testosterone numbers. That it happens naturally. It's not necessarily something that you are doing, although there are some things that will promote a drop in testosterone. And you can read about that and find out at mensteaclinic.com. It's actually a great resource for you to go into mensteaclinic.com and read and find out some of the different watch points for when your testosterone may have dropped, the increased belly flab, when you had more lean muscle mass. Now you're starting to see a decline in muscle mass, despite the fact that you haven't changed diet, you haven't changed your workouts. Your energy level really drops and diminishes. That's the biggest one. That's a sign that is a surefire sign that you could have issues with testosterone, especially if you are over the age of 40. 1 in 3 men are running into that, and if that's the case, let Men's Tea Clinic test you, get results within minutes, and then get a tailored, customized plan for you so that you reap the benefits of testosterone treatment. That's what they can do for you. They will get you living your best life in 2020. Even in 2020, they can do something good. MensTeaClinic.com, 5 locations in Houston, MensTeaClinic.com.
720 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, let's hear from you today. Why don't you guys jump in and tell us what you thought about the NFL? Well, first of all, if you're an Astros fan, where are you at right now? Are you excited, or does it not feel, for me, it still doesn't feel real. It just doesn't, I haven't really been engaged with a spring training, for example. Spring training is always the lead up to a season. There's not really a spring training. I mean, I'll see some, you're not in Florida. I'll see some highlights like everyone else will from Minute Maid Park in inter-squad scrimmages, but it still doesn't feel real to me. There's no Yordan. I got a, yesterday in direct message, this is what somebody says in direct message. Who was this guy? He said, I think, or it may have been, oh, it's actually on Instagram. Guy wants to know, hey, are you hearing anything on Yordan or Keedy? Like, he said, it seems like it's awful quiet. Do you have any inside information? I don't have inside information. My inside information is I wouldn't expect Yordan or Keedy right now, obviously. Do you have anything new?
No. No. I hope they're okay. Goodness gracious. I hope they're getting better. Hey, who knows? Some younger people, they get really sick and fevers and takes a while, and maybe sapped his strength. I don't know. I'm hoping that, we need Yordan bad.
Oh,
we
gotta have
Aledmys Diaz. What?
His simulation Kyle is terrible.
No one cares about a simulated season.
Well, it could foreshadow.
So the Astros are supposed to play tonight and tomorrow in Kansas City, but it looks like, I think there's an 80% chance of rain. So it doesn't look like that is going to happen. And then they start on Friday. Let me ask you this. Verlander against Gonzalez. Who you like?
Verlander.
McCullers against Walker.
Walker's terrible.
Greinke against Kikuchi.
Obviously Greinke. Well, is Greinke going to make the trip?
Yeah, Greinke's going to be there.
If the plane, if he just doesn't like the look of the plane?
Well, that's not, I hope, what? No.
It's a possibility.
And then James against Graveman. Who you got?
I might like the other side of that one.
Huh?
Sight unseen, not even knowing the other pitcher.
So
I just don't have a lot of confidence in Josh James, the starter, yet. He's going to have to make me confident.
Well, the thought was, too, was that is it Greinke goes fifth instead of that's third? This has Greinke third. We'll see.
You told me he was Greinke.
Well, Greinke was scheduled to be fourth or fifth. And, you know, however else they're going to do it, he and James were supposed to pitch. James was supposed to pitch today, and I forget who the other one was going to pitch. Anyway, so the thought was Greinke might pitch game one against the Dodgers, but we'll see. I'm not sure. It's ESPN, and I haven't seen McTaggart say, but they don't have a fifth starter here for the Tuesday, July 28th game against the Dodgers. So they start on Friday, and Verlander goes against Gonzalez, and that we know for sure. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. We're going to be watching Astros baseball this weekend.
No, I'm going to be more excited when I realize it's reality. The first step was seeing baseball yesterday on ESPN. I'm like, no. Was it ESPN? Yeah, I think it was ESPN. One of the ESPNs. And I was, oh, wow.
Yes.
I said, this is probably a replay. Is this a replay of something else? And then they cut away to the dugout and there were masks on. And I realized, wait, this is real. This is real, like real baseball.
Yeah, this isn't
starting.
Like from
real sports, John. It's been since March since we had one of the majors. Now I'm almost getting ready to consider the UFC a major. Like it is boxing now. The UFC is boxing. It's taken over boxing. Boxing fans said it never would happen ever, and it did. It's on all the freaking time. But other than that, is not a team sport. That doesn't have city affiliation. This is the first sport other than MLS with city affiliation. And MLS, let's face it, does not even have a major, major TV deal. We now are about to see baseball followed by basketball, boom, boom, like that, jump off. And we've been doing this, okay, from a personal standpoint and from a business standpoint for us and a professional standpoint, we have been without Uncle Freddie, you know, kind of gave us a lot of credit and kudos, I'd like to say
we're heroic.
Well, we do heroic. Some people say we do heroic things. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Being able to do radio with no sports, it has the hint of heroism, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying that. But so if that's what the public thinks, then that's what they think, and that's fine. I'm not. Who are we to judge? But March Madness shut down. Basketball season shut down. Spring training shut down. All of it. Roughnecks shut down. All this stuff shuts down. Okay, all the way through April. Hey, because I had a, I don't want to get too far off, but I thought about this. Remember when there was the email going around that if you couldn't hold your breath for 20 seconds, you probably had COVID? That was the sign that supposedly doctors were telling you, well, so it was email forwards, which are usually extraordinarily accurate and full of good information. It was, but this one felt like maybe this is true. Doctors are saying in lieu of a test, John's holding his breath right now. In lieu of a test, their doctors and nurses are asking people to try to hold their breath for 20 seconds. And if they can't, it shows a lack of lung capacity and you probably have COVID. See, he's not talking right now. He's still in the midst of a 20-second breath.
20? I'm at 30-something now.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't have it.
No. And I didn't, look, I'm not even breathing. I held my breath for 30 seconds and nothing. Dell, you can't even hold your breath.
No, I was just hoping that you couldn't get to 20 seconds so we can get you the hell out of here.
But, that's what you're
hoping. Well, no, Dell, that's the thing, though. I don't think that is a
necessary. It's not an accurate COVID test.
That was going around in March. That was back when COVID emails in March were.
Is there another test he can fail so he can leave?
Not COVID related.
But what about
He couldn't juggle. He's got COVID. Beat it.
Well, I can't juggle. What about a sobriety test?
Well, that's always up for
debate. I think you would pass it right now. But see, here's the thing is,
you weren't with me last night.
No, I think you can. I think you can, but I don't know that for sure.
Oh, I'm with Jackie on this one. Those MLB simulations are useless if the fake players aren't wearing masks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, your stupid simulation, simulated season, Lance.
But you know, and we were looking at like, and America, you saw these things. This has been a time, especially for the first 2 months, March, April, into May, I've just really reconnected with my family. We're riding bikes. We're having bike rides.
Where do you think I did yesterday? Road bikes. Yep.
Yeah. This has been just an amazing time to have dinner with kids and share special times and conversations with my wife. And I've seen, you know, I just really am and thankful and grateful. And this is, and that, I don't feel that's not a thing anymore, is it? Is that still a thing now that we're in July?
And it looks like schools are going to go online, so all of your kids will be home seemingly forever now. And there's a chance that children will be with you forever.
Yeah. Del, does
you
that
won't
bother
be able
us?
To move forever.
No.
Seems like a personal issue. Yeah, he's working out.
And I'm starting to get
two
mad.
Two-thirds of us don't give a rat's ass about schools being back.
Listening I'm starting to him, to and get, I'm like,
not being back.
What's his problem? Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about.
Really impacting my overall happiness, this whole... Because it's not just kids being... Like, it's... Nothing is happening. Just... But the good thing is...
So you feel
nothing
like,
will still
you
happen
like an
for
NFL
another...
player.
Yeah, nothing will still happen for another 5 months. Don't worry.
You feel like an NFL player.
Have you got all the parents in the neighborhood to send out a message to HISD? We want our kids to go to school, but we don't have a plan in place.
Right.
We need hope.
We want them to go to
we
school.
Wanna,
yeah.
We want
them to go to school.
Ironically, we really do want to play. Like no. This is such a coordinate. They say Byron Jones is the guy who coordinated this effort to go on social media and publicly shame the NFL. And then, but they're like, in the messaging, they said, now you have to make sure that you say that you really
want
to
play.
Like, we want to play. That's another.
Well, that's
part
number
of the
one.
Message.
And the last thing, every JJ tweet, we want to play. Number one. And then the last one, we want to play.
Major League Baseball players are the same thing. Tell us when and where. They were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. 729 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. So one of us seems bitter about this whole school thing.
He
better get the tweeting.
I'm just getting tired of COVID. I'm tired of COVID.
Oh, really?
You
got COVID fatigue?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But like I said, the good thing is only about 5 more months of this. Oh, no. We're not even at halfway point.
No.
Oh, cool.
If you're lucky.
7:30 ESPN 97.5. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Come on in and hang with us here. Astros baseball hopefully gets underway tonight. That's going to be televised. Is that going to be on? Was that supposed to be on Sportsnet? Was that supposed to be on? I didn't see. Hopefully it would have been. Hopefully they get the games in, although there's an 80% chance of rain in Kansas City. Russ is doing better. Mike D'Antoni says Russ is working out and feeling good.
Good.
He's going to be back. He's going to be ramped up when he's ready to go.
I mean, James has been going.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Russ was... So did James... Okay, well, I guess we don't officially know on James anyway. There's never been any kind of determination.
I don't think you and I talked about the thin blue line. Oh, yeah, we did. We talked about the thin blue line.
Yeah, James did. He was asked specifically. He came out and said, I didn't know. It was whatever.
Yeah, so didn't know paid.
Yeah,
because there were a lot of people that said, Bet James doesn't even know what that is.
Didn't know was -2,000.
Yeah, right.
It was a huge favorite. But this is the one that's a little tricky is, are we 100% sure James had coronavirus? Because James has been, now he could have had easy coronavirus, but James has been going for.
He had to quarantine for the first 2 days. And then, because everybody does, everybody who's late has to sit for a couple of days.
Right, but we're still not sure. We're not positive he had coronavirus,
no,
right?
No, no.
So nothing's come out.
Do you think
James has been working with. We saw video before he got into the bubble. We saw, like literally the day before he got to the bubble, we saw James in practicing with his teammates. Russ said he tested positive. Russ is, not doing anything right now. Are we sure that James had it? And we've made the assumption.
Yeah, I don't know. And if he didn't, did he just not show up on time? Because James doesn't do that. We haven't seen...
I don't know if he shows up for practices on time or whatever. I just think it's a little unusual. I don't think James would just say, I'll just get there whenever I want. That doesn't... If he's been working like this in the offseason, that doesn't feel like... That runs contrary to the new narrative of James has been killing it in the offseason and getting in great shape and running hills and all that. I'm going to assume that there was something going on from a health standpoint, maybe coronavirus. I don't think any of us would be shocked if he had that. I'm sure James does stuff publicly. I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
But it might have been something fairly mild. Whatever the case may be, James is there. Russ will be there. Yordan and Urquidy, that is a big deal for the Astros. It's the big bomber in the middle of your lineup. And it is a pitcher who showed a lot of promise. And regardless, it's still, you haven't been very deep on the back end of your rotation, even when you've been very good. Even in 2018, 2019, you haven't been very deep at 4-5. And that is still the case now. You got Josh James, who's an unproven starter right now. You know, McCullers, we know McCullers can go. He just has to stay healthy. But you got Josh James right now. Urquidy was supposed to be that shoe-in number four. Now, Urquidy also could be fine. He's on the 10-day list where he's not going to be doing anything for 10 days. Maybe he comes back and everything's great. And maybe this is a Major League Baseball Players Association edict that we're not going to talk about guys who test positive or who are battling coronavirus. That's their, if they want to do that, they can do that. But we want to make sure that the teams don't leak a bunch of information out there because that's a personal issue. So maybe, because some people are very embarrassed or they don't want people to know they have coronavirus. I've known two people like that who don't want people to know, which that's okay. That's their prerogative if that's what the case is. So maybe that's the case. I just know from the outside, it's a little nerve-wracking having a guy that really was very, last we saw, was very good in Washington. Last we saw in a must-win situation, Urquidy really balled out. And it's you need a four starter. And you need the bomber in the middle of your lineup in Yordan. And that's two guys who are missing right now for the Astros and who we have to presume won't be with the Astros to start the season and probably not for a little while afterwards, I would assume.
So if
they don't end up as medical opt-outs.
There is an article here, and it's actually a pretty good article. It's about being booed on opening day. Opening day at home, being booed on opening day. And what we're losing now here with the coronavirus is fans at home and the booing that the Astros might have caught at home. There's a list of Denny McClain coming off his 31-win season. He was booed in Detroit because he had an argument or some kind with a more popular pitcher, Mickey Lolich. He says, I can't do anything right in this town. In Boston, in 1989, when Roger Clemens was introduced, the boos couldn't have been louder if a New York Yankee had walked on the field, he said. And Johnny Bench was booed for negotiating a raise for himself on opening day 1982. That is, I mean, they booed Mike Piazza in Los Angeles on opening day 1988 for not agreeing to a contract extension.
Do you remember all that stuff? Yes. Maybe not specifically, but there was a time that if you were holding out when you were under contract,
right,
it was a major deal.
They booed Cecil Fielder coming off a World Series heroics the previous October because he briefly demanded a trade to avoid being platooned. It's one after another. They booed new hitting coach Jack Clark on opening day because Clark hit a home run against the Dodgers in the 85 playoffs. That I get because he wasn't on their team, but. Would the Astros have been booed at home? I don't think so.
No,
there would have been a smattering of boos.
That's all contract stuff, though.
That's all contract stuff.
Yeah.
No, but they're saying the Astros would have been, this guy's saying,
100% they wouldn't have been booed. Was there booing of the Giants after the Barry Bonds stuff? No. Was there booing of Barry Bonds? No. There was no booing at home of Barry Bonds.
Right.
Those fans were defiant. If they're defiant about a guy who just hit 9,000 home runs on steroids, do you really think the Astros fans? Oh, no, there's no chance. Who wrote that dumb article?
It's a guy named Sam Miller. And if there were boos, if there was and there would have been a full house for opening day for the Astros. If there were boos, the cheers would have overridden it mightily. The people, they would have been, the cheering people would have definitely overridden the boo people. I don't think there's any question. And I just think that's silly. That is silly. And you know who would have gotten the loudest is probably Altuve, because he's caught the most. Mm-hmm. He's caught the most. And all of the idiot fans with the buzzer fans.
Hold on. So is this guy's
who can
point,
suck it?
This guy's point that hometown fans will boo their own. That's his point. He's showing examples.
He's showing examples of
hometown.
But
they're all contract issues.
No, there were other ones. Trading away, like Tigers manager Sparky Anderson, remember the one season in the majors as a player. The whole home crowd booed when we ran on the field opening day. I couldn't believe it. Richie Ashburn told me they're just getting ready for what they know is coming. The Phillies went 64-90 that year. They knew they were a crappy team. Right. They knew they were a crappy team. Aubrey Huff was booed lustily after he insulted the city of Baltimore during an offseason radio hit.
Yeah.
Well,
I just think this is a huge reach. This guy is enormously wrong, and he's trying to back it with examples. But these are examples of contract disputes. These are examples of somebody making a disparaging comment about a city. This is from, I mean, you're talking about something that happened in the 60s. He couldn't be more wrong about the Astros fans booing. The Astros fans would have absolutely not. I can say that with 100% certainty, and you can too.
Yeah.
You know it too.
Astros
no
fans
chance.
Would have.
He just missed.
he whiffed on this one. There's no question about that. Now, will the Astros get booed mightily? And they're also going to be at opening day for the Angels. Would they have gotten booed in Los Angeles? Yes, mightily. But not here. Not here. Come on. That's silly. 742 ESPN 97.5. You know what else is silly? Not having hair. I mean, if you if you're watching on Twitch or whatever this is. Is this Twitch? Is this called Twitch?
Mm-hmm.
You can see how full and wonderful a head of hair I have now. And it's all because of Doc Linville. If you watch Fred in the afternoons, you can see how full and wonderful a head of hair Fred has now. And it's all because of Doc Linville. And it's all because of his great staff and the wonderful neo-grafting. Look. Neo-grafting is different. Then they cut the other ones before, they would cut the back of your head and then they would put it up and it was painful and it was horrible. This process is so much easier. It is so much, it's so much better. I did it on a Friday, was back at work on Monday. Fred did it on a Friday. He was working that afternoon and he was in the chair for about 8 hours and he went to work that day. Now, if you're looking for the easiest way and the best and the most efficient and the best results, then it's Doc Linville. And it is the neo-grafting. And he will explain it all to you. Listen, you can get virtually get a consultation. It's a free consultation as well at 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com. All right, 745 ESPN 975. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in.
By the way, Snacks today has his one of his birthday presents is basketball camp, the Jet Academy, Kenny Smith.
Oh,
remember
nice.
When Kenny came
yeah,
on?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Kimba Walker's, the lessons are, I don't know how this is going to work. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be recorded Kimba Walker. I don't know what Kimba Walker's doing. But anyway, maybe these are lessons that Kimba Walker came up with. And we'll find out exactly how it's going to work. But Snack starts. It starts at 11 o'clock today. It's week one, day one. Today's lesson is hard work. And they actually have some different things. They give us a rundown on what's going to be taking place in this week's lesson. Or this week's Tuesday determination effort. But they have actual drills and stuff like that they're going to be doing. So he's really looking forward to it. He's excited. And so yeah, it's
so is
I'm interested because this I believe is going to be the start potentially of a brand new way of interacting with the same way that cameos and stage it is where musicians, for example, and there's other things like this, they play little concerts and you buy a ticket, which might be just $2, might be $5, and you can watch them for 30 minutes. Play a live concert in their own rooms or whatever the case may be. This may be an opportunity where you say, okay, look, we can start doing this more. If this is done properly, which the setup so far has been great, being able to have live events with a Charles Barkley, for example. You've done Touchdown Club.
Yep.
Live events doing on one, Zoom.
Doing Tom Herman this week.
I am curious. There has been, I've talked to people in NFL Network behind the scenes, not in front of the camera, but people who are behind the camera, so to speak, producers and stuff, who said this has really given them a new perspective on what is possible without all being in one place at one time. A lot more is possible than they believe. And that includes higher up people who say, do I have to be in the office every single day? Mm-hmm. Can I get work done? Because I've talked to guys who are on phone calls, doing in meetings, 10 hours a day. And they said, my work schedule is not any different. I just don't have to go in and get through all that traffic to get there. So the Jet Academy is interesting to me because I want to see how it works with my son. But I think it also could be a foreshadowing of what we see to come, where you may have a lot more. For example, have you seen the MasterCard Masterclass? Have you seen those Masterclass things where you can where you can pay a certain amount of money and somebody teaches you how to, somebody famous, like Aaron Franklin had one for barbecue. Franklin from Franklin's in Austin. He had one. I'm sure you haven't seen any of those commercials where Aaron Franklin, he's got a black t-shirt on, black glasses, and he's putting stuff all over like a brisket, his salt and pepper combination. And I'm surprised you haven't seen that masterclass thing. I bet you have, and you just didn't even know it. This is going to be the beginning of online masterclass stuff, like widespread, I think. Let me see if I can bring up the commercial, and I'll bet you will have seen it. Here's the MasterClass commercial, and this guy's on there, and he shows what he's doing. And if you pay a certain amount of money through,
Why did he put his mouth on that grill?
He was blowing into it, and this guy is your instructor, and he teaches you how to do certain things. I mean, he's famous in Austin. He's famous everywhere. People wait for 3 hours.
I was watching Queen of the South. Are you on Queen of the South?
No. Why does that sound familiar?
Queen of the South. It's a USA. Dell, are you on Queen of the South?
I've seen a couple episodes, but I'm not watching it.
Yeah. The acting is... But they were trying to make crystal meth, and they were doing it online. And there's a guy who will teach you how to make crystal meth online.
This isn't a documentary.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a show.
But it could have been a documentary in Florida.
Well, this is just a small part of it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, and then his hair starts on fire. And yeah. So it was, anyway. That's what the master classes are all about. They'll teach you online how to do stuff like make crystal meth. That's good.
No, that's your words. This is more Aaron Franklin was doing barbecue. Kenny Smith or Kimball Walker's doing basketball.
Could he teach you how to make a moist brisket?
I think that's what he does for a living.
You think that's what he does for a living? Do you think that Aaron Franklin could teach Lance how to make a moist brisket?
I've made plenty of moist briskets.
Not from what I've been told.
No, I've been told
someone's a pit master, so he can't be taught anything.
I've made plenty of. I don't need any help from anyone.
You know someone's an expert when every time he's in a restaurant, he brings up his skill level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right.
He likes to talk to the guy who gets paid to do this for a living.
It's called talking shop.
Ah, shop.
We talk shop.
Shop.
Huh. Yeah, we talk shop.
Mm. Yeah.
You and the other pit masters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you talk golf shop whenever you are doing your golf show?
Yeah.
Well, that's a show.
Yeah, that's a show about golf.
So that's understood.
And you made all good shots your whole career?
No.
You know, I think I do a pretty good baked macaroni and cheese, but you know what I'm never going to do? Talk to someone who does it for a living.
Because there's not a baked macaroni and cheese league.
There's no barbecue league that you're in.
Baked macaroni and cheese, it dries out. What are you doing?
See, this is how I know you're not black.
I know there's a baked macaroni and cheese has never made sense to me. Why? Baking, by its very nature, dehydrates.
If your baked macaroni and cheese is dry, then you're not doing it right.
Right.
Yeah.
You cover it with foil then.
It can be done.
You don't cover it with foil.
No.
Do you put breadcrumbs on
it? No, I don't.
Okay. I was just checking.
Don't insult me.
I was just checking.
Uh-huh.
Just your trash ass baked macaroni and
whoa,
cheese.
Whoa.
I don't.
Why are you eating dry baked macaroni and cheese? Who are you?
So when are we going to tell people about our guests today?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So in 9 minutes, as a matter of fact, good Ford promoting. Pat Kandelis, who is the director of the two documentaries that we'll talk about. One is called The Scheme, which John and I have talked about, which is college basketball corruption. Really is a documentary about all the stuff that has been going down, and it has gone down with college basketball and specific players in that field who ended up going to prison. And so Pat did a ton of that. And then he did the documentary that's on Showtime right now called Outcry. It's a 5-part documentary on Showtime, and it's about a high school, what was then a high school football player named Greg Kelly from Leander, Texas. I've never been to Leander. I don't know. I guess it's not far from Austin, obviously. No. And this guy was a good football player. He's dated the cheerleader. He's an A student, good-looking kid, never gotten any kind of trouble. He came from a good family, had a scholarship to UTSA. He before the season, his senior season even started, he accepted a scholarship offer to UTSA. And then he was accused of sexual, I can't remember what the actual term was called, but basically of child molestation of 2 4-year-olds. And well, 1 4-year-old, and then a second one came forward, and the whole town was rocked. And so this documentary, and then he ended up going to trial. He ended up going to prison. He was found guilty. And I would not say it was a lock that he was going to go to prison, but he ended up being found guilty. Inside the documentary, he ended up getting 25 years if he said that he would not appeal. They would give him 25 years before the sentencing guideline instead of, you know, could be as much as life. I mean, it was 25 plus potentially. And so it's 5 episodes, so there's a lot to get through specifics. But he ended up going to prison, and this is a documentary about how his case unfolded, how it all went down, his fight to get his name cleared. Another suspect pops up in the middle of the documentary, which I don't know about you, but I thought the very first time I saw the other guy, I thought, this guy looks a lot like Greg. Greg Kelly. Right. I mean, he looks a lot like Greg Kelly, and he's staying in the same house. So anyway, I really hate to play spoiler alert, but let's just say that Greg Kelly is scheduled to join us today on this, the guy who was the subject of the documentary. He's scheduled to join us at either 8:15 or 8:30.
Well, there's no way around it. We're going to have to talk about it. He's enrolled at UT.
Yeah, he's enrolled at UT.
Yeah, and he wants to walk on.
But, I mean, this is a you did not know. Pat does a great job, the director. The director's from Austin. His brother Mike lives in Houston. Was a longtime listener of the show. I got to know Pat because he did a mockumentary called Draft Days based on something that we were doing on our show with Keith Cornelius Jr., who was a kid at Episcopal who was like a backup cornerback. But when the ruling came down that when Maurice Claret challenged the court system on the ability of players before 3 years removed from high school, you know, that you could go into the NFL before 3 years removed from high school, it was a really big deal at the time. And the court system initially said yes, which meant high schoolers theoretically could go to the pros. So we got a letter from Keith saying that he was going to, he had a letterhead, I am going to test the waters, I plan on being the first high schooler to go pro. Then he called into our show and said he was going pro, and I mean, he played it perfect. He played the comedy straight, and we ended up, this guy, Mike Condellis, thought it was hilarious. He told his brother, who was starting off as a documentarian in Austin, he goes, hey, I'd like to make a documentary about this. And so I did an interview as part of it. He interviewed Jason Babin. Danny Arnold was at his pro day. He ran his pro day at Episcopal. He was a cornerback. I think he ran a 4.84. you know, his vertical is like 28 inches or something. It was hilarious. And now he's all grossed up, and he's now the director, Pat Condellis, and we'll visit with him in a second.
Two documentaries.
Sports documentaries.
The Scheme and Outcry are two great documentaries. So we'll talk to him about that on the other side. As a matter of fact, coming up next. And then Greg Kelly at the bottom of the hour. So we got both of them here today.
I want to talk, and if you haven't seen it, like I said, once you hear our conversation, hopefully you will go and watch it, because it's some. Hey, if you'll watch Tiger King, you should watch this too. Trust me. TGS Insurance. So I'm very happy that I had a listener who heard me talking about TGS Insurance and how it can really do wonders for putting more money back in your pocket. And this listener said that he, you know, he took a pretty strong pay cut at his workplace, and he was trying to make cuts around his, you know, his life to try to equal the pay cut he had to take to help support his family. And he said he heard me talking about how that could be the case with, you know, homeowners insurance. And he texted the word money to 232323, like I always tell you to do. And he ended up saving over $1,400 for the year. He made his payment. He got money back. He had previously paid homeowners insurance 4 months prior, and he paid for the annual and got that 8 months of prorated money back and paid at this lower rate. And he's saving over $1,400. And I'm telling you, that's not unusual. You can do the same thing. The average savings is $900. That's a good amount of money. And why don't you get A-rated insurance without paying outrageous amounts of money? You can cut your expenses without cutting your service. TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.